right, if you got your Bibles with you, open up to James chapter 4. You know, for a guy who talks too much, I sure do get nervous when I get behind the pulpit. thankful for Brother Cameron and Brother Michael getting up here and preaching. Brother Cameron happened to preach the first half of my message, which is fine because I really wanted to get in deep on the second half. But I know you asked him to preach just before church, right? Well, either God told Brother Cameron to be ready to preach, or he's been walking around with a bullet in his pocket since he was 9 years old every day. Just waiting to hit us with a powerful illustration. I'm honored that Pastor asked me to preach this morning in front of a crowd that contains a large group of men who have directly influenced my life growing up. We've got my youth pastor sitting right here. We've got Brother Cody Zorn, one of my favorite preachers. My pastor who's kept an eye out on me ever since I was 5 years old. Even the two police officers in the past couple of years have changed my life for the better. I once had a heavy foot, and after a couple of tickets, I saw the light. Saw the lights through my rearview mirror, and I'm better for it. This is just me being goofy so I can get comfortable, if you guys just bear with me. In James chapter number 4, we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Do you know the person that this passage is speaking about is somebody who thinks they've got their life planned out. Somebody who is in control of their own life. You know, in my life in the future, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I've got it all figured out on my own. They're not worried about what God wants for their life. They're not worried about what God's got right down the road, as Brother Cameron said. They're not patient. It's not coming fast enough, so they're going to do it in their own power. Brother Cameron was talking about shooting a gun. I'm talking about a different kind of shoot this morning. How many of you guys got one of these in your pocket? How many of you guys have a cell phone? And on a regular basis, you know what you do? You're taking pictures. You're taking videos. This is how you capture moments. You got to get that shot. Now, how many of you guys, be honest, take selfies? You take selfies. Now, how many of you in here, it wasn't a lot of hands, how many of you in here know somebody in here that's those daily selfie takers? Oh, snap, snap, duck lips, getting it in. Do it for the gram. I do it for the Instagram. Selfies every day. Every day. Every day. And Brother Cody, what I'm preaching on this morning is a generation of kids and adults who are obsessed with themselves. They're obsessed with themselves. All they're doing is taking pictures of themselves. We're talking about a selfie generation here. All they're worried about is themselves, what they can get for themselves. God could be doing something all around them, and the only thing they're focused on is their self. All they're focused on is what they can get out of who, and if they can get out of what situation. And they're not focused on God. They're not focused on God. And I'd like to say that this problem just sticks with teenagers and kids. But do you know how weird it is when you're in Walmart with a grown man and a grown woman and the middle-aged and it just, hold on, that one wasn't good enough. Hold on. You like that one? Do you like that one? Let me see if I can get a filter on that. See if it's good enough to throw up on Facebook. They're just worried about themselves. That's all it is. I'm just going to breeze through the first half of this sermon I have here. In order to take a good picture, you need a couple of things. First, you need an object. You need a goal. You need to know what the will of God is for your life. You have to know what it is you want to capture. You have to know what it is you're going towards. After you have a goal, you know what you need to do. You have to pick up your phone or your camera, and you have to point it at the object. Young person, I'd like to say we've all figured it out on our own, but that would be a lie. We all needed some direction at some point in our life. There was some point in your life and mine as well where I was pointed in the wrong direction and somebody had to say, no, this is what you say you're called to do. This is the way you need to go. You need to point. After you take your phone out and you point, you know what you need to do? Click. You need to click. Looking at your goal is not good enough. It's going to require some action. It's going to require some action. Brother Cameron said, Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what it means to press? To press means to continue in one's action. Continue in one's action. The next thing is you're going to have to realize, in order to get a good picture, it's going to take some time and effort. It's going to take some time and effort. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. It's not going to happen overnight. In order for you to be where God wants you to be, he's going to have to mold you. I'd like to say that I've got it figured out, but once again, I'd be lying. God is working on me daily. It takes time for me to get where God wants me to be in a position where he can use me. And the last thing I want you to realize is when it comes to taking a good picture is sometimes you're going to have to do a redo. Sometimes the picture's not going to come out the way it was supposed to. And you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to change some things and try again. You have to go back, change some things, and try again. Now, this is what I really wanted to get into. You see, whether you're in here this morning and you are saved or you are lost, the devil will use the same tactic to where you can't get a good picture, Brother Cody. That's distraction. Distraction. Now, we've heard some great preaching this weekend so far, and I'm looking forward to hearing some more. But right now, this moment, what I want to bring to your attention isn't the youth rally. What I want to bring to your attention is when you leave this building, when you leave the state of Delaware, when you go back home, and those things that you left behind to come here are waiting for you. They're waiting for you. And you better believe that the devil has set up some kind of trap. He's got some kind of plan for it to grab you again because you left it behind and he don't like that. He wants you to distract you. It might be music that the world has to offer, or maybe it's some kind of game or gadget, or maybe it's some boy or some girl that's back home that you shouldn't be talking to in the first place. Whatever it might be, the world is going to offer it. The world is going to offer it. And the devil is going to try and get you distracted once again. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 14, in Matthew chapter 14, you have the story here of the disciples are in the middle of a storm. Disciples are in the middle of a storm. You see, Jesus tells the disciples to get on a ship and to go to the other side. And he goes apart to pray. And while on the ship, a storm comes about. Now, let me tell you how bad of a day the disciples are having. They see something in the distance and they think it's a spirit. They think it's a spirit. So as far as the disciples can tell, they're on a ship, in a storm, in the dark, and now there's ghosts chasing them. Ghosts are chasing them. That's a pretty bad day. Well, later on, they figure out, wait, that's not a ghost. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And not only is Jesus walking on water in this passage, but eventually you see that Peter is walking on water as well. The only man other than Jesus himself to ever walk on water. Peter's walking on the water. He's standing on top. He's making his way over to Jesus. But let's look at verse 30. You know what verse 30 says? I can tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say when the wind became more boisterous. It doesn't say when the water started beating on the ship more heavily. What it says is when Peter saw it. When Peter saw it. You see, over here in verse 24, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. What that verse tells me is that before Peter got out the boat, the wind was blowing. The wind was boisterous. The waves were rocking. Before Peter ever got out of the boat, he was in a situation. The wind didn't pick up when he got off the boat. It was already picked up when he got off the boat. Let me tell you something, young person. You're not sinking because of your circumstances. You're sinking because you took your eyes off Jesus. If you're waiting to serve God when everything in your life is fine and dandy, don't plan on serving God till you get to heaven. You don't sink because of the wind when you've got Jesus there. You don't sink because of the waves because you've got Jesus there. You don't sink because of money when you've got Jesus there. You don't sink because of family problems when you've got Jesus there. You sink because you take your eyes off of him and you start focusing on other stuff. And if there's anything, Brother Samson, that I've learned, is that Christians have gotten good at focusing on other stuff. They've gotten good at looking at other stuff. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. It was there the whole time. But it didn't affect him till he started looking at it. It didn't affect him till he started looking at it. Back to pictures. People today are spoiled. You know, with pictures today, everything is digital. I could snap a picture, and boom, there it is. It's saved on my phone. I could send it to whoever I want, wherever in the world I want. No problem, no worries. They'll get it if they paid their bill. Everything is digital. But you know, back in the day, you actually had to work in order to get a good picture. You had to work in order to get a good picture. Now, see, I'm a pretty young guy, so I had to Google a lot of this stuff. I had to figure out how this stuff was done. And it's a process, Brother Josh. It's a lot. You see, when you have this old camera and you take a picture, and guess what? You don't see it right away. You take a picture and you go, I should probably get another one in case that one didn't work. You don't see what it is that is now ingrained on the film inside of your camera. And once your film is full of these pictures, you know what you have to do? You have to take it into a dark place. You have to take your film into a dark place. Now, after reading up on this, I found that most people would go into their bathroom where there's no windows, and they would take blankets and towels, and they would jam up the cracks of the door so no light whatsoever could shine through. And then, once you have your film, and you go through the process with all the chemicals and all the washing, do you know what that film gave you? It gives you what they call negatives. Negatives. They're in a dark place, and all they got out of it were a bunch of negatives. All they got out of it were a bunch of negatives. Young person, adult alike, you might be in here this morning, and you might be in a dark place holding nothing but a bunch of negatives. But can I tell you what comes forth out of a negative? A picture comes out of a negative. A picture comes out of a negative. Let me assure you this morning that God can take that negative and produce a beautiful picture. He can take your testimony, enlarge it, and print it to the point where people will say, wow, God is sure using him. Wow, God is taking care of her. God saw them through. But you had to go through a dark place and have a couple negatives. God can turn your negatives into a beautiful picture. If you're in here tonight and you're in the middle of some kind of storm, you don't know where to look, you don't know what to do, let me assure you that I personally know the peace speaker. I know the one who can take me out of this dark place and get me to a point where I can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. The Bible says in Psalms 147, verses 3 and 5, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. If I could sum it all up in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know where you're coming from, and I don't know what God has planned for your life in the future. But don't let the dark place be the final step in your story. Don't let the negatives be the final product that your life brings forth. There's another step. You might be in here this morning thinking, this is it. This is all I'm getting. And God says, just hold on, because I'm about to turn it into a magnificent picture that others can look at as a testimony. I'm going to say one more thing and I'll be done. I want to talk about a man in the Bible named Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, Demas isn't talked about much in the Bible. Matter of fact, he's only mentioned 3 times. So I was looking into Demas and trying to figure out if there was anything that, you know, we could get more about this man's life. And some people believe that Demas left because he fell in love with what the world had to offer. Some people believe that the things of this world were just too good to pass up, so he left Paul. Some people believe that maybe he was discouraged by the hardships of the work that he was doing with Paul. And he cared about his life too much. He didn't want to lose it. They're saying that when Paul went through these hardships for the gospel, Demas said, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. I don't know if I can go any further with you, Paul. But in 2 Timothy, Paul, you know what Paul has to say about the matter? Paul says, he quit. He quit. We don't get much more from about Demas other than 3 verses. And you know what we know Demas for? He quit. He quit. That's all there is to it. Demas quit. Maybe he was discouraged because of the things that he and Paul had to go through. Or maybe he really did fall in love with what the world had to offer. But here in 2 Timothy, Paul says, it doesn't matter, he quit. He took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on something else. You might be in here this morning, maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're discouraged because of a situation that nobody else in this room knows about. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you're just waiting to go play some games today. Or maybe you're just waiting to get home so you can get back into whatever it is that's controlling your life. Don't be a Demas. Don't quit. Don't quit. God is still waiting for you to take the focus off of yourself and off of those things that are surrounding you and to put it back on him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for saving me.